Good morning. It's good to see you today. We, as usual, have visitors among us, and we're grateful for that. We thank you for being here, and we ask for your attention. We appreciate that your presence shows your interest in spiritual things, and we want you to know that it encourages us. We're happy to have you among us. If you have any questions about what we do or say, as we say from time to time, we certainly hope that you'll make that known to us. Ask the questions. You might want to read the article on page 2. We have some things to say about welcoming visitors and what to expect and what not to expect. And one of the things that we say there is we're always happy to entertain any questions and comments that you have about what we say or practice. Our interest and our goal is to follow the Bible. To follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, more specifically, as a part of the Bible, that we answer to the Lord Jesus, since He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth." So while all of God's Word is instructive to us, as the proverb is that Brother Rick just read for us, we know that Jesus is the Word, that He has all authority, and that His Word is the power to save. And so we want to go to His Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and have our faith produced by it, instructed by it, that we might serve God faithfully each day, that we might live with Him in salvation, redeemed by the blood of the Son, that we might have the sure hope of heaven throughout all of eternity that is promised to those who live for and serve our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you accomplish that in your life, we want to do that. And we certainly would be happy for an opportunity to assist you in that way. As the lesson that's been announced is entitled, "Are You Listening?" from Proverbs 22, it's notable that the wise man, in the course of writing these Proverbs, these general sayings of truth that teach wisdom and guidance for life and living, that he said, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise." We must be willing to allow ourselves to listen to what God says. Now, I suspect that, I know, there's no suspicion on my part. I know that I have not always been the best listener. My wife is still trying to teach me to listen the right way, and I appreciate that because I need to learn sometimes. We all do. And I know every husband here would say amen to that. So, there you go. But not just husbands, wives, and all of us. We all need to learn to listen better. It is not an accident when we listen. We have to incline our ear, as the proverb says. We have to make a deliberate decision to give attention to what is said. Now, the Bible says that God, in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, that God, having of old times spoken unto the fathers and the prophets, in various manners and means, ways, spoke in time past in different ways, various times, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son. Now, that does not mean that we can expect Jesus to appear before us and start talking to us in our ear. But what it does mean is that God has provided a process through the sending of His Son to this world and His inspired apostles and prophets and an inspired Scripture, that is, writings that God has produced for our benefit. God is speaking to us. It's not a subjective, God says one thing to you and another thing to me. We can all go to the same message. God has the same message to you and to me and to all the world. He speaks to us. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to God? It requires attention and effort. It requires respect toward the one we're listening. You know, I think maybe as much as anything, probably, the frustration, and I'll go back to the illustration of the husband and the wife, the frustration that comes, whether it be for the husband not listening to the wife or the wife not listening to the husband, is because when we fail to listen to each other, it conveys that we're not showing the right kind of respect to each other. We're not showing that by our attention that we really are giving value to the other person. Now, how do you think God feels when we don't listen to Him? When we are careless about what God is speaking? We want people who we care about to listen to us when we speak, and likewise, they want us to listen to them when they are speaking to us. But are we listening to God? Do we show God the respect that He deserves by listening carefully to the Word He has spoken to us by His Son in His Scriptures, these writings that God has breathed out for us? That's the heart of our study and our contemplation this morning. You see, are we listening to God? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and in verse 1, the writer Solomon, this great man of wisdom and king of Israel in ancient times, said, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." When we come to the house of God, he says, draw near to listen, to hear, to give attention of that which comes from God. Do not offer the sacrifice of fools. Do not think that we can merely approach God and be casual toward Him or give Him whatever we choose to give. Let us incline our ear and hear from God that which He wants of us, that we may honor Him properly. Because as we sang together, holy is His name. Holy, holy, holy in all ways and at all times. That then is indicated when that we know that and understand that and appreciate that when we will listen to what God says to us in His Word. Jesus in Matthew the 13th chapter has some things recorded about listening. He said in His preaching among the people, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, what do you mean, Jesus? We all have ears, but we're not all listening. We all have ears, but we're not all listening. Jesus said we have to have ears to hear. And He talked about the people of His day. He said that in them they were fulfilling the prophet Isaiah, what Isaiah had said. He said, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive." Why is that, Jesus? What did Isaiah say? He said, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed." We decide sometimes that we just don't want to listen anymore. Of course, we do it to our own detriment, to our own harm, but we make a choice. We decide whether or not we will listen. Samuel, the child, in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, you remember when God is speaking to him on that occasion in a miraculous way, said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." You see, a heart of service to God that is ready to hear what God says. Again, I say ready to hear because God is speaking to us in His Son. The Son sent out His apostles to preach the gospel to the whole world. It is this gospel by which Jesus is speaking to me and speaking to you and speaking to the whole world. We acknowledge that by listening carefully to what He says. God has always expected His people to hear what He says and to do what He says. In Exodus 15, in verse 26, God, through His prophet Moses, said, the people complained to Moses, and He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." So God through His prophet said, if you will heed My voice and do My commandments. Listen and do. You know, it's not enough for children just to listen to what the parent is saying. The parent expects the child to do what the parent says. Our Heavenly Father wants us not just to listen to what He says in His Son, through His Son, but to do what He says. That's what Jesus in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 24 and 25, would say that whoever hears these sayings or these words of Mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus says, listening to God means more than just saying, "Oh, I understand what you said." It goes beyond that. It goes to doing what God said. So again, I ask, are we listening? Are we listening to God? You see, listening is about hearing Him and doing His will, putting our faith and our trust in what He says more than what I say to myself or anyone else says to me, but what God says to us in His Son, in His Word. Are we really listening to God? Let me suggest to you at least three things that we need to be listening to. Of course, we've been saying this already. God, we must listen to God by listening to His Word. There are those and some who claim that God has directly spoken to them, maybe in a vision, maybe in a dream, in a still small voice. They claim some experience that to them they have defined as God talking to them. That's not what the Bible teaches about how God speaks to us in these last times, in these days. You see, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says He speaks to us in His Son. God is communicating to us through Jesus. And we learn about Jesus in His Word, His Gospel. We need to be reading and learning the Bible. Look at this attitude expressed in Luke 19. If we're gonna listen to God, this is the place to go. It's His Bible, His Word, this collection of books, Biblios, these 66 writings that cover a span of 1,500 years by about 40 different men they were written. Hebrews and Greek, and some of it's in Aramaic. Different cultures, different backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles, but all with a common thread and harmony throughout of the true and living God, of the redemptive process in the Son, Jesus the Christ. If we're going to listen to God speak to us at all, we're going to have to go to this book. We're going to have to get familiar with what God is saying to us. In Luke 19, when Jesus was still on the earth, here in the final days of His life before the crucifixion, He was teaching daily in the temple in Jerusalem. And the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy Him and were unable to do anything for the people. And were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Him. The people were attentive to hear Him. And unfortunately, a few days later, they would cry out, "Crucify Him!" But for the moment, they illustrate what you and I need. The attentiveness to hear Jesus, to hear God, to listen to what God says. If we want faith in our lives, if we want to be men and women of faith, we have to do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust in God comes from listening carefully to His Word, seeing that it is so, seeing the evidence, seeing the testimony that it is valid. We put our trust in it, and we put our trust in God who gave it, and so we do what He says. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It does not come by convincing myself that my way, defined as I wish, is the right way. That's faith in me. That's not faith in God. We have to listen to God and follow His righteousness. Isaiah in chapter 51 speaks of this, speaks of it prophetically, finding fulfillment in the people of God. Even to this day, look what it says. Three times in this, as the Lord is speaking of His people prophetically, He says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and behold the pit from which you were dug. The rock of ages, cleft, cut out for me. Let me hide myself in thee." We sang it. Do we not see that what that means is we will listen carefully to the God who provides us the shelter for our soul, the salvation and security that goes beyond the moment into eternity. But God says, "Listen to me. If you're going to follow after righteousness, He's the standard. He is the upright one." Again, verse 4, "Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. The law will proceed from me. I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples." To listen to God means that we listen to the law that proceeds from Him. You see that in verse 4? We are not listening to God if we refuse to listen to the precepts that come from Him. Verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. God says, listen to me. Don't listen to men who take you away from righteousness, who take you to an end of death and decay, of faithlessness and sin. Follow righteousness. Listen to me, He says. Incline your ear to the true God. We have to be careful listeners to God, of God, by being careful students, learners, listeners of His Word. We must be listening to God's Word. If we do that, we are taught that we must listen carefully to the reproof of our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all transgressed God's will at some point in our lives. Jesus brings us redemption from our sin. The fact is, we have to be willing to acknowledge the reality of sin in ourselves. And that comes by listening. When God in His Word and His truth rebukes me. Proverbs 15 and 31 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. He says, you know, we have a choice when we're rebuked, when God's Word rebukes our sin, or when someone who cares and loves us enough to rebuke us for our sin, we have a choice. We can close our ears. We can say, I don't want to hear that. If you really cared about me, you wouldn't be saying that to me. We stop our ears and not listen. Maybe not literally, but internally. We can say, I'm not listening anymore. But it's to our eternal death. He says wisdom is when we will hear the rebukes of life that help us have the wisdom we need to live life in righteousness. Look again at Proverbs 25 and verse 12. 25:12 in Proverbs says, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Now, rebuking is not a pleasant thing. If you have to rebuke, you have to rebuke your child because they've been disobedient. Or maybe, as Jesus taught, you have to rebuke your brother because of sin. Or if you're the object of the rebuke. There's nothing pleasant about that in the moment, but it bears peaceable fruit. It can bear the fruit of righteousness if we will have an obedient, what? An obedient ear. If we'll hear it. If we'll listen to it. If we'll receive it. Proverbs 10 and verse 17, several Proverbs that speak to this. A lot of Proverbs about listening, about hearing. Proverbs 10 and verse 17 says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. When we refuse correction from God, from the Word of God, rest assured we go astray. And it's true not just in terms of God and His Word to us. When we reject and we will not listen to teaching, to instruction, we won't receive the education that we need for our life, for our living. If we reject sound counsel, we're going to be worse for it. That's just a truism, and that's why it's in the Proverbs. We need to listen so that we can be on the way that leads to life. Look at Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Brutish is the idea. We prayed about sometimes we're just stupid this morning. Sometimes we just make choices and do things that are wrong. They're stupid. They're sinful. But now look at this. This proverb says when we hate instruction, correction. When we hate correction, we won't listen to correction. we show ourselves to be brutish, to be stupid, to not have the knowledge that we need to improve ourselves. So when God teaches us about our sin, if we want to walk in the path of righteousness and please our God, then we've got to have ears to hear. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Listening to rebuke, to reproof, to correction helps us be wise. 17:10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. You know, you can't beat wisdom into a fool. Beat him with 100 blows, he's going to be as foolish as he ever was. But if you rebuke the wise man, he'll benefit from it. You see, he'll be willing to listen to it. No one's above sin. All of us need rebuke from God. You know, the Bible says the Scriptures, inspired Scriptures, are profitable for rebuke. 2 Timothy 3:16. They rebuke my sin, but it also teaches me, corrects me to live in righteousness. We need to listen to it. We need to be wise. Proverbs 15 and verse 10 says, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. If we reject correction, discipline, on that, off of the right way, we will die, rejecting that which is intended to bring us back. So the third point about listening is we need to listen to wise counsel. Who is your counselor? Chapter 8 of Proverbs 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Now, in this verse, in this passage of Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified. Wisdom is speaking. So in that context, listen to what wisdom says. Blessed is the man who listens to me, waiting or watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Now who would say, I hate wisdom? Well, the fool might not say it per se, but by choices made, by rejecting God's Word, that's what is being said, and that leads to death. We have to open our ears and listen to wisdom. Listen to, and of course, God's Word is wisdom. God and His Word of Truth teaches us the wisdom we need for life now and for eternity. Proverbs 2:1-2. My son, again, now this is King Solomon speaking to his son. He said, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. See? He says, you'll find her. You'll find it. And you will understand the fear of the Lord, verse 5, and find the knowledge of God. Wise counsel. Who's your counselor? Who do you turn to for advice in your life? Answer that to yourself, but answer it honestly, because God already knows the answer. So answer it honestly to yourself. So be honest with yourself. Who do you go to for advice and counsel in your life? Who is your counselor? Proverbs 18 and 15 has something to say about it. That passage says, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Where do you seek knowledge? Where do you seek to obtain understanding? Who is your counselor? Again, chapter 29 and verse 1. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Do we go to somebody to counsel us, to tell us what we want to hear? Someone who'll agree with what we're already believing and feeling and thinking and saying? Or will we go to a source that will tell us the truth, what we need to hear, what comes from God's Word that will improve us, that will help us accept God's correction and repent of sin and do His will in our lives and forsake those things that are foolish? See? That's the question. Who is my counselor? Who will I go to? Who do you go to? Do we go to the Bible, God's Word? Do we go to faithful Christians for the counsel that we need to point us to God's will? Do we go to our parents and siblings who share a faith in God who can point us to God's Word? Or do we go to someone who they sure make us feel good because they tell us what we already think and what we feel and really is what we want to hear anyway? What good is that? What good is it for a sinner to tell a sinner, you're okay in your sin? What good is it, Joe, if you're being a bad husband, to go to somebody and say, oh, Joe, you know, your wife, she's just terrible. How's that help me? How's that help me? The people every day do that. They go to people who will confirm them in their sin and help them feel good in doing the things that are wrong, and they feel justified. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. We need to go and listen to God. If Joe's not being the right husband, Joe needs to listen to God to find out what a husband is. And if Betty's not the wife she ought to be, then she needs to go to God and find out what God is saying about who a wife ought to be. Who's our counselors? That's what I'm talking about when I talk about listening to God. Because you can always find somebody in the world that will tell you what you want to hear. God will tell us what we need to hear. Because He loves us. Because He wants what's best for us. Because He wants us to live with Him forevermore. Are you listening? Does God have your attention yet? You don't have to listen to me. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to God. Listen to God. In these last few minutes, I want to share some things with you. We won't be able to go into great detail with many of these. But some things that can keep us from listening. If we really want to listen, then we need to know there's some things that can hinder us from listening, and we need to get rid of them. You know, like the t-shirt says, I hear you, but I'm not listening. That may get a chuckle. But that's not going to help our souls. That's not going to help us be wise in this world. We need to listen to the right source so we can do the right things so we can have the blessing of God. Jesus, in John 8 and 43, was in a dispute with some people. And in that dispute, finally He said to them, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You're not able to listen to me, He said. And the reason, as He goes on to explain, that they were not able to listen, to understand what He said, to listen to Him, was because of their own sin. They had given themselves over to sin and disobedience. They had given their hearts over to unbelief. He said, you are of your father the devil. Now these are the words of Jesus to people who claimed faith in Him. But they were rejecting Him by their words and deeds. You are your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. That's going to keep us from listening to God every time. When we want to do sin more than we want to do God's Word and God's will. He says He was a murderer. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Why is it they didn't believe him? Because their desire was to do the will of their father, the devil. They desired sin rather than listening to the Son of God. He who is of God hears God's words. You get that? Verse 47. He who is of God hears. He listens to God's word. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. That's stinging, but it's true. If I'm not listening to God's word, it means I'm not of God. If I'm of God, I'm listening to God. I'm hearing what His Son says. You see, sin and disobedience will keep us from listening. Like those people of Stephen, when Stephen rebuked them for their sin of crucifying the Savior, What they do, it says they stopped their ears and they rushed upon him, gnashing upon him with their teeth, and they stoned him to death. They would not listen to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Given over to sin, given over to disobedience. A heart given to sin won't listen, will not yield, will not subject itself to the will of God. Romans 8 and verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 30 through 33 describes the Jews in exile, in Babylonian exile, having been taken there by Nebuchadnezzar, the king, who just eventually destroyed Jerusalem, and the exiles were taken away into a far land. And Ezekiel was God's prophet in that far land, in Babylon. And God tells his prophet, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of their houses. They speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Come and please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord from the prophets.' They're talking about you, Ezekiel. 'So they come to you as my people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words.'" They're listening to you. They hear your words, Ezekiel, but they do not do them. "For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." Their hearts pursue their own gain. "Indeed, you are to them as one very lovely song, as a very lovely song, who has a pleasant voice and can play on an instrument. You're like beautiful music to them, Ezekiel. For they hear your words, but they do not do them." They don't do them. Why? Because their heart was not given to God. Their heart was given to following after their own gain. Selfishness, sin, disobedience. They would not listen to the prophet of God. That's the principle. Are we listening to God? And if not, why not? Be honest with ourselves, because God knows the answer. If you want to listen to God, you're going to have to deal with the problem of sin, and Jesus will help you do that. The gospel is God's power to save you from your sin, to help you listen to God and live for Him in your life. Things that keep us from listening: pride. And I put this lesson together. This was down at the bottom of the list, and I changed my mind. I said, that needs to be up near the top of the list. Because pride keeps us from listening to the things we need to listen to. Think about it with me. Think about it. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Said, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She'll place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She'll deliver you." So get wisdom. But what do I need if I'm going to get wisdom, if I'm going to obtain wisdom? Chapter 2 and verse 11 and verse 2 tells me, 11:2 of Proverbs, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." If I'm going to get wisdom, I have to be humble. I have to listen to a source of wisdom greater than myself. You see that? If I really want to be wise, I have to admit how foolish I am and start pursuing true wisdom. And pride keeps me from doing that. Conceit. Sufficiency within myself. I don't need some other source. I'm sufficient in myself. Don't tell me what to do. As if we stand in the position of God. Look at Proverbs 18:12. "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." You see, pride answers before he knows the issue, because he's already made up his mind. Humility listens before he speaks. The heart of the haughty brings destruction. See, pride. Pride keeps us from listening to God. Arrogant conceit refuses to admit any sin or admit any error. That's the problem, you see. It keeps us from listening to God's Word and humbling us and in humility obeying what God says. Of course, that principle applies to any relationship in our lives. We're making an application of our relationship to God, but it has a relationship application to every relationship. Every relationship in the home, at business, among our brethren, in a congregation, and your neighbors on your street. I don't care which one it is. If we are not listening, it could be that we're too proud. We need to humble ourselves. We need to listen. See, pride keeps us from listening. A hard, unrepentant heart keeps us from listening to God and listening to one another. So that was Jesus' point in Matthew 13 as he went on to talk about and use the parable of the sower and the seed there and the soils. In Matthew 13, the people that were listening, they're hearing, but they're not hearing it. You know, they're seeing it, but they're not seeing it. He teaches the parable of the soil and the sowers, the seed. The Word of God is being planted, but some's on the wayside, the hard ground. It won't penetrate that heart. And some of it falls in the stony ground, and it shoots up, but there's no roots, and so it withers away. And then the gospel will fall on some hearts that are full of other things, self-interest. And so it chokes out the Word, and it doesn't bear fruit. You see, what we need rather is when God speaks today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, today, not tomorrow, not when things work out, I'll listen to God. Today. Otherwise, you're hardening yourself. And in a hard, unrepentant heart, you're not listening to God. Prejudiced hearts reject truth without giving it a respectful, careful, reasoned, intelligent hearing. We make up our mind. We harden our heart. We prejudice ourselves. Paul was speaking to his audience in Jerusalem about the gospel and about his conversion to Christ and the gospel of Jesus and how Jesus sent him to the Gentiles, and they were listening up to that moment. And when he said, Gentiles, boy, away with this man, because the Gentiles, they're scum. Prejudice. A hard, unrepentant heart cause those people not to listen to truth. Is that so with you and me? We make up our mind not on the basis of a thus saith the Lord of an inspired scripture, but of a prejudice we formed, and that prevents us from being wise and making wise choices. There's a day of wrath coming. God ought to prepare us to not refuse, but to have a heart willing to yield, to listen to what God says in all things. You know, something else keeps us from listening is a spiritual shallowness of self-interest. This gets us back to that parable of the soils, of the rocky soil and then the thorny soil. The spiritual shallowness of self-interest. We have just enough interest in spiritual things to make it look good, but not the depth of faith that sustains us through life, that helps keep us in faith and in hope and in the love of God. Careless indifference toward the things that really matter. So when God speaks, it has no impact. Because we're given more to the cares of this world. You see, the deceitfulness of riches or the cares of other things, as the proverb talks about. And so when God speaks, God's Word gets choked up, choked out. It doesn't bear fruit. Because we have no depth of faith. We need to change that. We need to get rid of the things that choke out God's Word, choke out indifference to God's Word. You see how we use our time, our resources, our opportunities? They all say something about our desire to listen to God. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, don't care for what you're going to eat, what you're going to sleep. He didn't say, that doesn't mean you don't prepare your life and you don't prepare and live and be wise about the things of this world. He says you give first attention to God. We need the depth of faith. We need to not be surface saints. We need to have a faith that is at the core of who we are. Spiritual shallowness, self-interest, keeps us from listening to the Word of God. So does anger. Anger prevents effective listening. Whether it's I'm angry at God, you know, because something happened in my life, or something happened to somebody in my life, and I'm going to blame God, I'm going to be angry at God, and I'm just not going to have anything to do with God. Well, how's that working out for you? How's that proving to be a beneficial, blessed, fulfilled life? Much less in eternity when you stand before God in judgment. God's Word says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger makes us incapable of listening. When we're angry, we're not listening. And that's just a fact. When we're angry, we're not listening. We're not interested in listening. Anger is taking over. Look at Proverbs 12, verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 12, verses 15 and 16. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and he who heeds counsel, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Fool's wrath is known at once. If we're swift to wrath, then we've given ourselves over to temper, to selfishness, to pride. We're not listening. We're not listening to God anymore because He says don't do that. We're not listening to the one we ought to be listening to communicate. You can't communicate with a temper tantrum. Nothing effective. And so we often sin, and rather we must humble ourselves. We must put aside such things like anger so that we can truly begin to listen. Listen to one another. And above all, listen to God. And let God teach us the control of the Spirit, the relinquishing of those things that would hinder the peaceful spirit that will show love for God and for others. James, that same chapter in James, says that we're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. God wants us to be more than hearers. He wants us to be doers of the Word. Do you really listen? Do you wait to talk? Wow. Do you wait? Do you listen first and talk later? Wow. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. We've got to first listen to God. Let God teach us the wisdom of listening, of being wise, of being like the man who built his house upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, Jesus said, is the wise man who built his house on the rock, on a solid foundation, secure from the storms of sin and this world, safe unto eternity, because we listen to God for the counsel that we need to save our souls. We listen to His Word rather than any word that would lead us away from Him and into sin. We hear His reproofs. We hear His corrections. We give ourselves in wisdom and humility to then do what He says. Is that your need this morning? I hope you've been listening to God. Go to His Word and listen to what He says. Because Jesus is the one who said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And so the call of the gospel is when we know that we have sinned, that we repent of it. We change our heart about our sin against God. And we confess that Jesus is the Christ. That is our faith. And then we are baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Because Jesus taught us that. And we're listening to Him. And then to live a life of faithfulness to Him. seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If that's your need, we want to help you be saved in Christ. We want to help you live for God. If you're a Christian and you've been listening to God this morning through His Word and you know there's sin you need to correct, we urge you to do that in prayer and repentance. If we can help you in some public way about some public sin or pray together as God's people, we offer that as well. We want to urge you to respond to what God says while we stand and we sing.
Thank you.